God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is teaching, the spiritual ability to explain and apply God's word. A teacher studies to gain knowledge of the Bible, is equipped with wisdom to understand it, and is gifted with the ability to explain it to others so they can grow in God's truth and apply it to their daily life. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get you another seat on the airplane. Takes a staggering amount of typing to get this sorted. This is wretched. You know what else seems to be really difficult these days? Not just getting a seat change on an airplane. What kind of information does your system need to make a seat change? It's getting a seat at a restaurant. When did seating people become so complicated?
I don't have any clue.
It's amazing. There must be something to it because I know people wouldn't have extra people hired for no reason at all. But you walk into a restaurant and it's like three teenagers standing around the desk. Can we help you? Yeah, table for two, please. And what do you get from that? Hold on, let me get my...
Okay. Is that what it sounds like when you write a book?
No. This is what it sounds like. I'm doing what everybody should be doing on Cyber Monday, and that is... taking Justin Peters home for Christmas. You say, what just happened there? That was a bit of a segue train wreck. No, it wasn't. Justin Peters and I spent 2 days in a studio talking about the subject of discernment, which is so interesting. This subject, I know that it is, okay, let me change the word no to believe. I have believed for over a decade that the subject of discernment is way overlooked. And it is constant. We all practice discernment all the time. But the rules of discernment do not seem to be codified anyplace. And so you've got police on the internet that discern everything. And wow, talk about picking nits. Woo! Getting involved in local church messes where we have no business being. And they just go after anybody, whatever, that without maybe doing a whole lot of thinking about what are the rules of discernment. I actually wrote about it in 2015. It was just a few chapters inside of Judge Not, available at FortisInstitute.org as a part of the Cyber Monday sale. And those rules, they don't cover everything, but at least it's a helpful framework to get through the subject so that we do not create circular firing squads, which we seem to be really good at doing these days. And so interestingly, over the weekend, I got a text from Erwin Lutzer. Do you know Dr. Erwin Lutzer? He was the preacher at Moody Bible Church for 37 years, I believe. I think his radio ministry is still going strong. He's 83 years old. And he sent me a text saying, hey, do you know of any books on discernment? Erwin Lutzer doesn't know about any books on discernment. If you know about a book on discernment, please send it to me at idea@wretched.org because I'm not aware of one. And he said that he sees such a great need for it these days because the internet, woo, it's just nastyville out there amongst Christians. I think it's especially the Instagram and texting. Or not texting, tweeting. That's it, tweeting. I guess it can be really quite eyebrow scorching out there. And so Justin and I went into the studio to record Thou Shalt Judge. Just do it rightly and biblically. And you can bring Justin Peters home at the Fortis Institute store. Or if you want to bring him home for free, I do believe the deal is if you buy a certain amount, you get free shipping and you get Justin Peters and the study guide for free. So head on over to your clacker machine and visit FortisInstitute.org. How'd I do, Jimmy?
You did great.
Thank you very much. That clacking was...
Yeah, it's hard.
I agitated myself is what I did. Seriously, how hard is it to put two people at a table? You've been there. Don't tell me you have not looked around the restaurant and you go, like all those seats are open. Can I just put us somewhere? All right, maybe it's the staff rotation. I get all of that. But then you really want to cause somebody to have fits. Let them walk you to the table and then just say, is it possible we could have that table instead? And they get a panicked look about them. I'm going to have to go back and clack a little bit. Sort this thing out. How hard is it? Or am I just becoming a curmudgeon? No, Friel, you've been one your entire life. Would like to talk politics. Probably not the way everybody else is talking about it, but perhaps there is an issue that the church has every right to say to the government, get on it. Do your job. I think one of the first considerations when we speak to the government is asking the question, is it the government's job to do that in the first place? And I believe this issue is their job because this is a public safety issue. This affects you and me. And the government, I think the government's role, I don't think that Romans 13 limits it to all it can do is bear the sword. And the reason that I say that is because in the Old Testament, there was a tax for a welfare program. Now, gleaning was the typical mechanism. If you were dealing with the field in the fall, you would allow people to glean. So you would leave the droppings and not pick up every single grain so that poor people could come around and gather up. They could glean the leftovers, if you will. That was typically the way that people would eat. But there was indeed a welfare tax. I want to say it was like 3 1/3%. Now, the government must have been dealing with that. They were doing more than bearing the sword. They were helping people. So I don't think that Romans 13 limits the government's job. Now, having said that, I will say that the government rarely does anything very efficiently outside of the sword bearing. Building roads, inefficient. Having the trains run on time, inefficient. Education, yeah. I just don't think they're good at it. Is it a sin that they do it? Well, I guess that could be debated, but I just don't think that they do it very well. And so the issue that I haven't told you about yet, I think falls underneath their sword-bearing role. Protect us. That's your job. And we can speak to them because this issue is in their job description and because they need to repent. You need to stop this behavior. This behavior is deceitful. This behavior is not honest. God does not delight in deception. And so now you ask, what's the issue? From the Gateway Pundit, talking about psychotropic medication, that it's time that there is some transparency. They share the story of Spencer Pearson, who was a high school football star, was given a life sentence. This is now just a week ago, 2023. Vicious stabbing attack of his former girlfriend and her mother in Ponte Vedra, Florida. The attorney tried to use the attacker's, quote, varied mental illnesses as a mitigating defense. Side note on that issue, if somebody knows that it's wrong to hack at somebody with a knife in a parking lot, whatever their mental struggles are, if they know that that's wrong, they're guilty and they should receive the full force of the law. Just did a video on that. That one didn't go gangbusters, Jimmy. That it was a call for more the death penalty. We need the death penalty. It's biblical and it helps. It does deter. Back to Florida, the judge didn't take any of it. He was found guilty. According to one article in the Jackson, Florida Times Union, while in the third grade, a teacher made his parents aware that he suffered from anxiety. According to other reports, his insecurities and related emotions caused serious issues in his relationship with his girlfriend, and so she ended the relationship. He became very depressed. His parents observed, quote, extreme paranoia, hypervigilant behaviors, and persecutory, he wanted to hurt people, and suicidal ideations. He was taken to a mental health facility focusing on suicide prevention. What happened there? Was he given anything? One day later, he attempted to kill himself by hanging himself with a tie in the closet. His parents were able to untie him. That was in his bedroom. Was he provided psychiatric drugs while he was at the mental health facility? We don't know. Why aren't we being told? Why isn't the government confronting this if this is a danger to people? Pearson stayed at the facility for 4 days and was released with an antidepressant prescription for, well, Prozac, basically. Pearson stopped taking the antidepressant because it gave him headaches. What else was he given? We don't know, but we do know this. If you watch the commercials for psychotropics, they have side effects, including suicidal and murderous ideations that lead people to doing these wicked things. Is that what happened with this poor young girl and her mother in a parking lot in Florida? Don't know. Hey, government, we'd like to know. Do your job. If psychotropic medications are causing mayhem, stop it. That's your job. Do you know how 1 in 4 people in America take a psychotropic medication? Greg Gifford's book is going to be coming out in the spring. I think it is going to be one of the most profoundly helpful books ever for evangelicals dealing with psychotropics and mental health diagnoses. It's called Lies My Therapist Told Me. And it is going to bring some clarity to this subject. And maybe after we all get the book and read it, we should then be calling out to our government, time to do your job, folks, because this is getting a little bit dangerous out here. This is Wretched Radio.
Marriage and parenting, they're not for the faint of heart, and in a fallen world, those sacred callings can feel overwhelming. Maybe you're struggling with communication. Maybe your kids seem a bit out of control. Maybe you're just trying to keep your head above water. But here's the truth. Your home wasn't designed just to survive.
But what would it look like for someone to catch sight of your marriage and think, I think it's really, really alive and it's thriving?
Join Pastor Brad Bigney, who spent over 3 decades as a biblical counselor, helping thousands of couples and families move from barely surviving to truly thriving. Each episode of Thrive tackles real issues with biblical wisdom, from resolving conflicts to rekindling romance to raising godly children in an ungodly world. Don't settle for survival mode. Let God's word transform your home into what He designed it to be. Listen to Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, available now on Fortis Plus or your favorite podcast platforms. You can find out more about Pastor Brad Bigney and Thrive at fortisinstitute.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire: sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
You notice how the world feels a lot different lately? At Fortis Institute, we see it too, and we're responding with even more resources to help you stand strong. Every single day, you get fresh video content that addresses today's critical issues. You get podcasts on marriage, parenting, and theology, biblical insight from trusted voices like Pastor Brad Bigney and Dr. John Kratz, plus Gary Barvell's weekly cartoons that are funnier than any dad joke you can ever hear from me. Todd made me say that. Best of all, everything is absolutely free through our Fortis Plus app. From Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, we are equipping believers like you to thrive in this brave new world. So join thousands of Christians who are already growing stronger in their faith every single day. Just visit fortisinstitute.org or download Fortis Plus right now. Always free and always faithful to God's word. Fortis Institute at fortisinstitute.org.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to Him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. true peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Of course I know Tim Challey's first. Everybody knows that. This is Wretched Radio. What was your trivia question during the break, Jimmy?
Do you know the name of the very first book ever written by Tim Challies?
Well, first of all, I can't wait to know why you're asking this question. Does this have something to do with psychotropics?
No.
Oh. Did it have to do with productivity?
No. That is another good book, though, that he wrote.
Yep. Do more quicker with less or something like that.
Do more better.
Do more better. Do more better with your grammar, Tim. Well, what was the first one about?
The Discipline of Spiritual Discernment.
Oh, is really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Stop it.
Yep.
Do you happen to have the chapters in front of you?
I do.
I'd like to hear them.
A Call to Discernment.
Yep.
The Challenge of Discernment.
Yeah.
Defining Discernment.
Uh-huh.
The Heart of Discernment.
Uh-huh.
Truth and Discernment. The Will and Discernment. The Gift of Discernment. The Dangers of Discernment. Developing Discernment. And the Practice of Discernment.
You know what I've heard about that book just between you and me?
What's that?
Terrible. Awful book. Yeah. Get Thou Shalt Judge at FortisInstitute.org instead. Much better. That sounds awesome. I'll have to tell Irwin. I mean, Dr. Lutzer. I wish you could spend time with Irwin Lutzer.
Oh, me too.
Oh, he pulls you up. Some men, David Miller was like that. You walk into, not to get mystical and new agey here, but you just kind of walk into this aura and you know, perhaps I need to straighten up a little bit. And maybe what am I wearing? Do I look like an adult male or am I looking like a punk right now? Am I actually acting like a godly man? That's what they do for you. There's something about that guy. I'm telling you, and his voice, it just kills me. Because you hear his voice, that lilting voice when he preaches on the radio, it is exactly the way that he talks. Jimmy, one wonders if this book by Tim Challies might be available, per se, in the Fortis Institute store. That's how he talks.
Right, right, right.
Oh, man, it's just charming and so engaging. And the dude is so, did I just call him dude? And the dude is so evangelistic. He shares the gospel with people wherever he goes. I'll tell you, he's just, so I'm going to send him a text and tell him get Tim Challies' book.
Yeah, you should.
Because he's looking for something on discernment because it's just a drought out. Okay, go to the Amazon store and see how Christian discernment.
Yeah, that's how I found this.
That was it.
And there's one more by Watchman Nee.
Who needs to be discerned?
That's right.
So let's just stick with Tim Challies or Thou Shalt Judge at the Fortis Institute store. And if you haven't, by the way, visited Fortis Institute, please, please do. I'm so thrilled. We're getting really, really encouraging feedback that the material, we have upped our production here because basically we're insane. We decided, you know, let's do more. And we did because we want to. And these new fellows joined us and they are cranking out material that is so good. All right. Isn't what I'm supposed to be talking about, but that's never stopped us before. This is Adam Tyson. This is for Gen Zers. This is a hot take. So if you go to fortisplus.org, you can see stuff like this. Every single day, we are cranking out 7 new audio or visual products every day, and they are free. fortisplus.org.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. I wanted to talk to you today about an article that I read that says older men's connections often wither when they're on their own. And as you might imagine, this article is talking about how as men get older and they stop having so much interaction with others that it doesn't go well with them. And in fact, they start to wither. As young men, we can learn that we always want to maintain good and healthy relationships. I think the Bible calls this fellowship, right? I love Psalm 133, verse 1.
So biblical, just constantly slinging Bible verses. And he's addressing young men saying, hey, find godly pals. It's going to be good for you. You start acting like a cowboy Christian now, it will not go well with you. God wants us. In fact, I actually had that experience at church on Sunday. In fact, I'm not just kind of making this up for the sake of filling time. I actually was thinking about it while it was happening and afterward. Was just hanging out. It turns out we're in the lobby after church and I'm just hanging out with some guys. And we're talking. There's a little bit of chop busting. There's just, you know, some playful stuff. We're just having a really good time together. And I remember even as it was happening, thinking, it's good. This is good. This is just good. I think males should have male friends. I think it's good for girls to have girl friends. There's a big pause between girl and friends there because it feeds us and it should pull us up. And that's why you've got to choose your friends wisely. And isn't that what the Proverbs are about? Son, be careful. You choose a fool to spend time with. You are one and you're going to become a bigger fool. Choose friendships wisely. So make sure, even as you are seeking to try to find a wife, don't neglect your friendships with your brohams. I do believe that that is the contemporary way to say it. But that isn't what we're talking about, Jimmy, and your Tim Challey's trivial pursuit question. Talking about psychotropics. It's an issue that needs to be brought out into the spotlight. I'm telling you, Greg Giffert's book, he's one of the fellows at Fortas Institute. His book, it's going to be huge. In fact, we did a resource with him. It's probably going to be released next spring. It's called Life Without the Numb. Let me take you back to the article from Gateway Pundit about mental health and psychotropics and these people that are committing these atrocious crimes. The young man who was just sentenced, named Spencer Pearson, went to high school, struggled all of his life, presumably with different issues, hacked his girlfriend to death. And her mom barely survived. And he has a long history of mental health issues. And this article is asking the question, why don't we get to know what medications he was on? Why don't we get to hear that? We should. This is now a public safety issue. When he stopped taking the antidepressants that he was prescribed because he was really bummed out about the breakup, he had headaches. He goes 4 days to a hospital. Weeks later, he'd fallen into a great depression, wasn't eating or sleeping, and had become gaunt and irresponsive, ultimately deciding to commit suicide now at a local beach. Whew. The kid was clearly struggling, and we would like to know what caused him to respond to his struggles by doing something that is, let's just say, beyond the pale. The article segues into a TV show on Oxygen Channel. It's called Snapped. This is a woman who stabbed her husband to death in the kitchen, cut up his body parts into small pieces, putting the parts into plastic buckets, and driving them to a densely wooded area. Whoa. Came home, cleaned it up. Can imagine cleaning it up. That takes a lot. And she continued to live there where she had committed this atrocious murder for years before she was caught. Years. This is from the article. This often is what people report when taking psychiatric drugs. No feelings. And then a one-word sentence. Numb. That's what these psychotropics do. They make people feel numb. And 1 in 4 U.S. adults is taking at least one psychiatric mind-altering drug. And I think that there is enough data now with these mass shootings, these school shootings, these violent, grotesque murders. We need to know because it does appear that there is a connection. And I think Greg Gifford's book, it without exaggerating or being hyperbolic, I think it could blow it open and it could get enough attention where people are like, we do need to talk about this. Now, on a positive note, what Greg offers in his book, don't worry, this isn't, what is it called when you give away the plot of something scare?
Spoiler
alert. Uh-huh. Yeah, this won't wreck it. If your kids are diagnosed with something, oh, hold on a second. Don't go so fast. Could it simply be that it is their personality type? That is just the way that they're made. Yeah, they don't have a long attention span. And who says what the average should be? Maybe they are more introverted. I was reading an article from, what do you know, Tim Challies. Look at how organized we are. It's called To the Impetuous and the Impulsive. God loves to use impetuous personalities. When people repent, they get changed. And he doesn't eradicate their personalities as if he created them wrong in the first place. Or if there's nothing within them that he can't use or redeem. Rather, he channels their personality. He redirects it. Masters it, perfects it, though he does sanctify his people. He doesn't destroy and then recreate them in such a way that they're all the same. So he uses these different personality types. You should be encouraged by that, Mom and Dad, because perhaps with your child, they don't have a mental health disorder. They just have a different personality than a lot of us. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.